Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. John here, back with a solo episode for you today. I'm pretty excited about this one, actually. Today, I'm going to be doing a website teardown, which I've done on the show before quite a few times over the years that we've been doing the show, but I haven't done one in a little while. It's been a minute. And so I'm kind of excited to get in and do one today. I do enjoy doing these. And I know that, if you're somebody out there who's just getting started with your own high-ticket dropshipping business, these sort of things can be very helpful for you to help get yourself on the right track and pointed in the right direction, particularly with your website or other parts of your marketing. So today, we're going to be checking out a website called My Backyard Zone, which is at mybackyardzone.com. And big shout out to Ronit, a longtime friend of the podcast, for volunteering her business for this teardown. And we're not just doing one teardown for Ronit here. In this episode, I'm going to be looking at her website in an upcoming episode. I think in about two episodes' time, I'll also be doing a teardown of her Google Ads account. So we'll actually have the Google Ads account on the video version, and I'll be talking through what improvements I'd make in there, what's going well, what's not going well, where there's opportunities, etc., etc. So we'll be doing that. But then Ben's also going to be doing a follow-up. So this is kind of like a three-parter here. Ben's going to be doing an episode where he talks through search engine optimization or SEO for the same website. So you're kind of getting covered off three of the big areas of running a high-ticket dropshipping business for the same business. And once again, big thanks to Ronit for volunteering her stuff for these shows. So we're going to jump in. I'm going to switch over here. We're going to jump in. We're going to put the website up on the screen. If you're watching the video version here, you'll be able to watch me talking through it. This will also be over on YouTube, of course. If you want to go and watch it over there, you can find it at Dropship Breakthrough on our channel there. So look, enjoy. Without further ado, let's jump into the website. Hey, if you've been thinking about starting your high-ticket dropshipping journey with us here at Dropship Breakthrough, but you've got questions, you're unsure about what's inside the course, you're unsure if it's right for you, or you just love to hear from the experience of our students, you can jump on a free call right now with a member of our team who is also a Dropship Breakthrough student and successful high-ticket dropshipper to talk about all of those things. Just head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/call and book your call today.
Book a call.
Alrighty, so here we are on Ronit's website, My Backyard Zone. As I mentioned earlier, mybackyardzone.com. And of course, if you're in the US and this is a US-based business and you need any of the products on this site, please place an order. Support Ronit, one of our podcast listeners, and share that love around a little bit. So, look, I've been on this site before, some time ago. I think the last time I come here, and I have no doubt from the look of it, there has been some changes made. There's some fresh stuff. So I'm kind of seeing this for the first time, which is the nice thing about these teardown episodes. It's kind of like a reaction video if you're big over on YouTube and you see those reaction videos that people do about all sorts of different things these days. It's kind of like that. So I'm going to be just basically looking through the website here and, I'm going to see if there's things that I like that I would do differently. Or maybe things that are missing, as it were, that I think might be helpful for this business. Some of those are going to be big. Some of those are maybe just going to be small and fairly inconsequential, but I'll talk through the thinking about what I would do there. So you can see on the screen, if you're watching along on the video, we're on the homepage. So this is a Shopify-based website, of course. That's what we recommend people do. This is a Shopify website. And
I'm pretty sure, anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, but we're looking at the superstore theme here for Shopify, which is, of course, the theme that we recommend and that we use ourselves. So Ben and I, when we have a store, we use the superstore theme. It's what we give to members of our course. If you're in Dropship Breakthrough, you get a licensed copy of the superstore theme. And it's developed by Out of the Sandbox, the biggest or one of the biggest Shopify theme developers. It's a fantastic theme for the types of businesses that we're talking about here, high ticket dropshipping businesses. So we're looking at Superstore. All right, so let's start running through this homepage. I'll do the homepage. We'll look at some product pages. We'll look at a collection page. We'll look at a blog post, see what's doing over there. We'll look at maybe some contact us, about us pages as well. We'll try and get through a good representation of the different pages on the site here. So first up, the first thing I noticed, just there's a tiny one. I think you can see my my toolbar and my tabs that I've got open up here. Way less tabs than sometimes, I've got to say, today. We can see here in the tab, right at the very top, there's no favicon for this site. Once again, might feel like a small thing, but if you think about it from a trust perspective, when a customer lands on the site, you know, and once again, this is just for desktop, okay? I'll point that out as well. Obviously, this isn't a thing on mobile so much, although favicons can show up in other places on mobile, so there are places it could show where it'll be blank. There is no favicon. So you look, I've got all these other tabs open, and then I've just got the blank world site sort of icon here, and that looks out of place. And so immediately, subconsciously, does it raise questions about the legitimacy of this website when things that people expect to see and customers, people online these very days are very trained into expecting to see specific things when it comes to websites, e-commerce websites and that sort of thing. And when you deviate from that, sometimes it might seem like a good idea in your mind, but it's actually not, because the minute we as people see something that we don't expect to see, we get suspicious. Is there something out of place here? Is this site real? Is it dodgy? Blah, blah, blah. You know, these are the kind of subconscious thoughts. So think about it yourself. If you opened a browser and you got a site and the first thing you looked at was the tab at the top and it had nothing there, you'd probably think that was a little bit off. Like just a little bit, right? So the favicon, something you can put in the Shopify theme settings, in your theme editor. It's just a 40 by 40 transparent background PNG, 40 pixels by 40 pixels. So it's a really small image. Usually you would use kind of like from your logo, like your device. So on this site, we've got this leaf, kind of green leaf, which would be the perfect thing. I would just cut that out of the logo, reduce it in size to the favicon size, give it a transparent background, and I would put that in there. And you'll see there would be like a green leaf up here, and I've got my Chrome on dark mode, so everything's black, and that green leaf's really going to pop off on the black background there. So that's the first thing that jumped to my mind, that the favicon missing. I would fix that. That's super easy to fix. Then we've got this big search bar up here, and it's moving along this kind of like toolbar of some sort. It can be closed here, we can see. I don't know what app or whatever is providing that, doesn't really matter. We see have a question, want to talk to a human, found a better price, call us now, 8 blah 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 blah. I mean, look, I don't necessarily mind this. I mean, it's obviously a little bit feels a little bit old school or something like that, I suppose. But sometimes, and I would assume obviously in this case, Ronit wants to get customers on the phone. She wants to talk to more customers. And so looking for ways to really grab people's attention and drive them towards a phone call. Now with high ticket dropshipping businesses, oftentimes you will make more sales when you talk to customers on the phone. You know, we're talking about expensive products here. There's products on this website that are multiple thousands of dollars. That might require a bit of setup or something like that. Customers might have questions. They might be shopping based on price and they've seen a better price somewhere. And so calling out directly for people to call your business is often a good idea, let alone the more people you talk to, the more you're going to learn about your niche. You're going to learn more about selling your products because you're going to hear what customers are thinking. And it can really speed up your process a lot if you can do that. So I would assume why that's why that's there. Not everybody will have something like that, and you don't have to have something like that. You can do this in other ways. But I would assume that that's there, and so it would be interesting to know whether that has any effect in this particular kind of presentation of it. Now, I'll kind of always remember here as well, we're looking at the desktop version. Now, a majority of traffic for this website is going to be on mobile, as it is for every website these days, and it's a little bit hard to share the mobile view and to flip between the two, but if there's particular things that might not work on mobile, I'll try and call those out. Obviously, this is the sort of thing that will look better on desktop than mobile. So whether that's, I'm going to put that up on my old phone here, and I'm going to see how this looks while I'm talking. I forgot to do this earlier. All right. So let's move along. Getting down. So it's not on desktop, not on mobile, sorry. One thing I would do here, on mobile, the logo is really small, almost to the point where it's not really readable. So I think that's just going to be a settings thing. The mobile logo size should be beefed up so it takes up nearly the width of the header between the menu hamburger and the shopping cart. So that's one little change I would definitely make. Moving along, we've got the menu. Look, I mean, you know, we can see the store obviously sells pizza ovens. We've got outdoor fire features like fire tables, fire bowls, fire pits, etc. We've got planters, so it's that backyard kind of type products. And then this expand your fun. I don't know if that's kind of the right terminology. Once again, probably not a massive thing. We've got a number of things down there. Ice baths, table tennis, water inflatables, game tables. And then some more pizza stuff. We've got a top brands menu item, and then we've got the learn, like the blog posts and that sort of menu. Using a mega menu here for some of them. First thing I did notice about the pizza ovens mega menu is the learn more gets cut off on desktop. Once again, not a mobile issue, but on desktop it gets cut off. And it does, the brands one does go further down the page, which can be a bit hard to navigate. So there might be a little way to rejig that a bit. There's also a blank kind of menu item there, which with a heading, which you usually try and avoid that a little bit. I don't know for this mega menu, I can't remember off the top of my head if you can create like multiple menu items in each column, but I would probably split this up so it all fits on one page a bit easier. All right, so let's go down the page. So we've got this nice sort of hero image. It's got a picture of some young women, you know, making a pizza on a chopping board. You know, got the ingredients looking nice. You can see the pizza oven in the background. That's a good hero image to have on your website. People doing the thing that you want to do. And so I like that. I like the little bit of text here. Create extraordinary pizza experiences right in your own backyard. So I think that's all good. You know, then we've got the highlight banner on the Superstore theme where generally we're using this to highlight, you know, things about our business that we are wanting to highlight for people as reasons that they should buy from us. So your homepage of your website for this type of business, you want to kind of think of as the home of your business, right? So you want people to understand things about your business on this page, like why should people buy from you? What is your business about? How do you help people? These are the sorts of messages you want to be communicating to people on your homepage. It's for a high ticket dropshipping business, it's less about individual products on the homepage because the reality is the only traffic that is going to come here, at least for the first a pretty significant amount of time in the beginning, is going to be people who people are going to land on product pages or collection pages. You're not sending any traffic to your homepage except possibly via retargeting ads, which is for people who have already been on your website on another page. You might, there are circumstances where you might send them back to your homepage. And obviously people who go to Google who are familiar with your brand, type in your brand name in like Google or some search engine like that, they're going to often land on your homepage, right? But they're already familiar with your brand. So really, you know, you don't need to be highlighting individual products to them so much because they're going to be coming back to go to, they already know the product at that point probably. And so, but it is a good opportunity to talk to people about things that are new in your business that maybe you want their attention on. Or like the story of your business. What's your what's your business about? Why should people buy from you? How? What problems do you help people solve? That's the kind of thing that you want to be communicating on your homepage. And so there's some good stuff here to do that. We'll talk about the offer a little bit more when we get to the product pages, because we replicate this kind of messaging throughout the site a little bit. So I'll dive into that on the product pages a little bit more so I don't get too repetitious. Scrolling down the page, look, we've got this new pizza oven, maybe a new brand on the site. And so we're kind of Australian made. I haven't heard of that one. Might have to look those up for one of my Australian sites. Polito, new to the USA. So once again, just using that as a way to highlight things to people that might be interested in a pizza oven that have come back. It's a pretty cool looking pizza oven, got to say. We've got some collections here of, you know, things that we want to highlight, I guess. I mean, that's all good. These images are nice. You know, they're probably kind of unique images. There's obviously a very clear AI image there. And I wonder about this. I don't know what the right answer is. Should you use images that are really AI or not? I don't know. I don't have any insight into that from a search engine perspective. You know, we do talk about on the podcast that, you know, it's not always a great idea to use AI-generated text-based content in certain ways. Certainly not just generating it and cut and pasting it straight into your site is not a good idea at this point. I don't know if the same thing holds for images. And I'd be curious, maybe that'll be something that Ben talks about in his SEO episode. I don't think I know the answer to that. Do customers like it? I mean, you know, if you're a customer and you see this, you're like, that's obviously not a real person. That's this pizza ovens by brand image. That's an AI generated image. Do I like that or not? I'm undecided. What do you think? You know, leave a comment on the episode somewhere. Tell us what you think about that. Is that, as a customer, is that a turnoff for you to see images that are clearly AI generated that are not like a real image? I mean, obviously, I think the preference is always to have real people in images where you can. Now, it's not always possible, right? So I completely get that. But where you can, it is because... and it's actually, once again, another subconscious customer thing. What actually happens when people see a person in an image doing the thing with the product that the product's about, it actually makes it easier for you to transpose yourself into the image and imagine yourself being that person if there's already a person in the image. Whereas if there's no person in the image, it's a little harder for our brains to put ourselves in that position. And so that's why a lot of brands do that. They put people in their imagery with their products. It's partly to show how somebody uses the product, but it's also because to get somebody to buy something from you, and to convert really well, you need to trigger emotions, right? The buying process in somebody's mind is an emotional response that is then supported by a logical response in the mind. And the emotional response is our lizard brain, right? You've got that instinctual kind of ancient part of your brain that works subconsciously. Every decision we make, it plays a role. Right. And that happens like automatically. It's subconscious. Right. But then we have the logic which comes behind that, which is where we actually think about it and say, oh, yeah, do the features stack up? Is the price right for me? And we try and use the logic to justify the emotion that happened automatically. You don't get to the logical part of the purchasing decision if there is no emotion first. This is the way it works. This is the way we all work. Right, you don't know that's the way you work, but that's the way you work, right? And I'm by no means an expert in psychology, but I understand this much about conversion. So having people in images doing the thing that the product does, or doing the thing with the product that the product's aimed to do, makes it easier for people to experience the emotion to put themselves in the image. Because what happens when people are thinking about buying a product is often they'll imagine using the product in their mind. They'll picture it in their mind in whatever way they picture things in their mind. And people do that different ways as well. And picturing it, putting themselves there. You're kind of, in a sense, experiencing it, and that's what triggers the emotions. Like, thinking about using it is what triggers the emotions. And look, this is what luxury product advertising is all about. And this is different advertising to what we do, but they almost always rely, like if you see an ad for a luxury watch or a luxury car, you know, or, you know, luxury perfume, or, you know, I mean, there's lots of examples of this. Largely, the ad is just a person, like, right? Like, usually a really good looking person, or maybe it might be a famous person that you recognize, or something like that. And yes, that's about associating the product with that person, but it's also about making you feel something, right? So, like, you see the ad where the dude, he gets out of, like, the Porsche or the Lamborghini, if it's a luxury car type ad. Not that they run lots of ads, but they do advertise in places, and, like, you know, the status, you know, because buying these things is all about status. And if it's a famous person, or the famous person has the Rolex watch or something like that, you know, it's about making you experience what the status would be like to be associated with that person in that way. And that triggers emotions for you, because you start imagining yourself wearing that watch and going, yeah, people are going to think I'm fucking cool if I've got a $10,000 Rolex or whatever on my wrist, or whatever it is, right? Even though, like, you'll notice the ads for those products, they never list the features and benefits and the this and the that. They don't even worry about the logic. They're just going straight for the emotion, right? They want you to feel the status. They want you to start thinking about what it would be like to have that status, because they know that if you feel that, it doesn't matter past that point. You've already made the decision to buy. Right. And so that's what we're doing here. So, long diatribe about that, but hopefully that's helpful for people. Always feature people in your, like, doing things with your products, if you can get the images of it, because it works really well. But whether an AI person kind of fulfills that role or whatever, I'm open to thoughts on that. I'm undecided, I've got to say. I'm not sure if I like it or if I don't like it. Anyway, moving along. So we keep going down the page, and now we've got a quiz. So, quizzes, welcome to our oven selector. Let's find the perfect pizza oven to match your outdoor cooking dreams. Well, I didn't know I was going to go down this rabbit hole, but here we go. Rabbit hole incoming. John loves quizzes at the moment. I may have talked about this on the podcast. I can't remember. I don't think I've done a quiz episode, and I don't know that I'm going to, but I like quizzes. Why do I like quizzes? Well, high ticket products often, so let's use pizza ovens for an example. And I would change the opening line to welcome to our pizza oven selector, if it's about pizza ovens. I like quizzes, like high ticket products. So let's look at pizza ovens for an example. I'm just going to diverge a little bit here from my original plan. Like, if I go to wood-fired pizza ovens and we scroll down, let's look at the collection wood-fired pizza ovens, right? Now, when you look at these things on a site, you know, we've got a lot of different ones. We've got ones from different brands. We've got ones at different price points. You know, it looks like there's some that you'd probably build yourself. You've got to put them together, like these brick ones. There's other ones that kind of come prefabricated, and they're kind of ready to go out of the box, as it were. But, you know, let's be honest. Most of these look kind of the same. Right? Most of them are a similar price point. You know, there's a few that are outliers. And then there's three pages of them. Right? Now, if I'm a customer and I know I want a pizza oven, I know I want a wood-fired pizza oven, right? So I'm on the right track and I'm on the right page here. But I don't know anything about the brands yet. And I don't know anything about the individual products other than, I want something that's going to cook me a good pizza. And maybe, you know, there's some features, there's some size, there's some pricing, I might have some things in my head, some bars that I need to reach in order to get to the right product. But, like, what's the difference between all these? Like, I don't know. I mean, like, what's the difference between this one and this one up here from a cooking perspective, like, or from a product perspective? This is where the problem can sometimes be with these things, is that you kind of, you're relying on the customer to work out what the difference is. And so this is like a middle of funnel type problem. It's not a bottom of funnel problem for a bottom of funnel traffic. It's a mid funnel and also a top of funnel problem, because that's where people from the top of the sales funnel end up, is in the middle of the funnel at some point. And so they're going to get to this question of, okay, great, I know I want a wood-fired pizza oven. I've got to that point. I want wood-fired rather than some other type of fuel for my pizza oven. And I'm convinced about that. Now, which one is the right one? Okay, so the only way I'm going to work out which of these is great is by clicking through each product page. That takes time. I'm not going to remember what I saw three product pages ago when I get to the fourth product page. Like, so how am I comparing these things? Like, what's... And so it's confusing. And there's three pages of them. I mean, and if your expectation is that people just come to your site and what they love to do is like, you know, and this is for anyone. This is not just for anyone. And what they do love to do is just spend hours and hours going through each product page and writing down the notes about each product. That, like, that's not what happens. Like, they don't. Like, if people get confused, they just leave. And they don't buy anything. There's an old saying in marketing, the confused mind buys nothing, right? So what we need to do for that sort of middle of funnel traffic, which you're probably going to start generating organically at some point for your site, as well as with some paid traffic, is we want to start getting to a point where we can say, yep, look, there is this great big long selection of products that we have, but what we really want to do is to help you get from where you are now to knowing what is exactly the right product for you in the shortest amount of steps possible. So what you need to do as a business owner, and why people are coming to you as an authority figure in your niche, and you are an authority figure in your niche, even if you're just starting out and you don't feel like it, you still know more than most people in your niche about the products that you sell. At least that's the perception customers have, right? And so to live up to that, what they really want to do is for you to take them from where they are to where they need to be, to rely on your expertise about the products to say, all right, I'm going to ask you some questions, and then based on that, I'm going to tell you what you need, and then you're going to buy it, right? And you're not going to have to spend ages like researching and trying to work it out for yourself, then worrying if you've made the right choice about a product and not having the confidence to spend the, you know, $5,800 or $4,000 or $4,500 when you're not quite sure if it's the right thing for you. And you haven't used the product and there's nowhere you can go to use it because you don't live near a showroom and all of this sort of stuff, right? So the more that you can clear up that confusion for people, the better you're going to do from a sales perspective. Now, obviously, if you can get people on the phone, or maybe you're communicating them through your online chat, which Ronit has here down the bottom, the little let's chat thing, that's fantastic. Right, I mean, that's great. You're going to be able to ask people questions on the phone. You're going to be able to talk to them about their budget. You're going to be able to talk to them about how many pizzas do you want to be able to cook at once? Like, how fast do you want them to cook? You know, are you planning to cook anything else in your pizza oven, which might influence which one you want to buy? Do you need a portable one? So on and such forth. You can ask all these questions. You can really help somebody on the phone, but you're not going to talk on the phone to everybody who comes to your website. And so the quiz is just one of the tools that we can implement to help people at that stage. And so, you know, it's nice to see that Ronit has one of these. There's definitely some improvements I would think of making to this. So I would put the word pizza oven in the first bit. I'd probably put an image somewhere in here as well, just to make it like an image of, once again, pizza oven image or something. You might put it just in here above the text. It might be the background of the quiz, just to make it look a little bit... a little bit sexier, a little bit more, you know, niche specific, if you like. And then I like to say, the text I like to say on it is something like, get our expert opinion on the, or our expert recommendation on the perfect pizza oven for you in 2 minutes or less. So once again, at this point, you're really asking somebody to take an action. And so the more specific you can be about that action, the better. You know, using words like your outdoor cooking dreams, that's a little bit too markety. That's a little bit flip-floppy talk, right? Just say, you're going to get our expert recommendation based on our knowledge, and you're going to get it quickly. That's what people want, right? And then take the quiz. The other reason I like quizzes, of course, as well, is that At the end of a quiz, you get somebody's phone email address at the very least. So it's an opt-in, right? Helps you grow your email list, gives you another avenue that you can then communicate with people in a more personal way via their email. But you can also get phone numbers. So you can often get phone numbers from between 30 and 50% of people who take a quiz, at which point you can call. As soon as you get that phone number and that result and you pick up the phone and you call that person. Oh, hey, I saw that you took our pizza selector quiz. You're in the market for a pizza oven and we recommended this one. Do you have any questions about that? Can I help you any further with that? Oh, great, blah, blah, blah. Are you ready to buy now or what's the story? Can I help you with the purchase? You know, you can, it's an easy way to talk to customers, right? So let's have a look at the quiz. I'm going to click take the quiz. So we're using Shop Quiz here. Shop Quiz is the app that this is. Ronit, you're going to get a test from me. I want to step through this. All right, so ask the name. That's cool because then you can personalize it in the next step. What fuels your fire? Yep, okay. So what... once again, with the questions, I wouldn't be too cute with these. I'd just say, what fuel are you interested in for your pizza oven? What I like about the responses here is that you've kind of said, like, what's the benefit of each one? Because obviously the question that comes up for people is, okay, like, some people might start this and go, well, I don't know. What's good about wood? What's good about gas? Like, I can't even make that decision at this point. I'm not educated about that. But you can see here, Ronit's got wood for the authentic smoky flavor. So you're getting that flavor in your pizza. Gas is convenient and easy to control. Easier to control than fire, for sure. And hybrid, a bit of both. You can do both, which gives you flexibility. I mean, I think that's cool. So let's say I want wood. Let's go. What is your assembly preferences? DIY or ready to go? Yep. That makes sense. I love a project and customizing my setup. I like these. Yep. I'm going to go with pre-assembled. Choose your material. What's your style? Yep. Cool. What do you want it to look like? What do you, you know, how do you want it to retain heat? Metal, refractory. I'd probably say people won't understand what... I don't understand what refractory means. What is refractory? Like, what's it made from? Like modern, efficient, and designed for high performance. I mean, that's cool, but like, what actually is refractory? I don't understand that. I know I can get brick and I get metal. I'm just going to say metal anyway, right? And then, if you want us to send our recommendations to your email and have it available when convenient. Convenient is spelt wrong here. You like spell checking and getting spelling correct is a must on websites. Leave your email address here, so you need to fix that. Or Ronit needs to fix that. And so once again, this is a wording, this is flip-floppy. So it's not an option. So I would change this to, we're going to send you an email record of your recommendation. Please leave your email address here. And it's not optional. Like, they should not be able to go to next without leaving at least their email. So I'm going to put my email in. Let's go there, click next. Now, and then we come to our recommendations here. So this is a good recommendation page. So I would add a step in before that where I ask for people's phone number. Right now, and it would be optional. Right, so this app will allow you to get a phone number. Once again, people will leave their phone number. Not everybody will, but people will. And if you can get a phone number, you're on, right? I mean, the person's expressed interest. You know they're in the market if they're doing this quiz. You know what you're going to know before you even call them, what products got recommended to them. You're going to know the answers to all of their questions. So it's a really cool follow-up phone call and a really easy one to have. There's a really good reason for it. The question for the phone call is something like, you know, our team of pizza oven experts is standing by to provide you with, you know, pro-level support in finding the right pizza oven for you. Leave your phone number and we'll give you a call to talk further about your needs. People will often leave a number. I would do that. It's so worth it. And we get to the results page. So once again, a couple of things that I would do here. The first is to offer one outcome. And one outcome only. Once again, giving me three leaves me with the problem that on this page, aside from the price and maybe the look of them, I don't really know what's the difference between these. Like, what is the difference between this one and this one? I mean, this one has countertop on the name and the number's different, but they look the same. It's the same product image, right? So at this point, I'm still confused. And the problem here as well is, and this is an app setting, you've got add to cart as the action item, not go to the product page. I don't want to add this to my cart yet. I want to go and learn more about the product. Now, if I click on it, it's probably going to take me to a product page. If I click on this image, but if I click on this, it's going to add it to my cart. And I don't want to do that yet. That's the wrong call to action. So there's actually a setting in this particular app where you can change the action button to a button that will take them to the product page as the next step. And that's actually what you want to do. But you only want to ever give people one quiz answer. Always one call to action. Never present multiple calls to actions to people as much as possible, because like the whole history of marketing says that you'll get a better response rate to whatever you're putting in front of people where you give them one option. If you're interested in this thing, here is your one option. This is the number one thing we recommend for you. The idea of a quiz is not to absolutely have the answer 100% of the time, because you can never do that. It's 80% of the time, right? So I'd make those changes. I'd also put a bit more content on this results page. So I would put in a bit of a blurb here. I'd put your email address in. I'd put your phone number in here. Like, need further help, please give us a call. We're ready to have a chat to you right now. Here's the phone number about this result. So I'd do that. But yeah, good to see the quizzes there. That's a good start. All right, moving along. You know, we've got some collections. That's cool. What's our business about? I mean, that's all fine. Learn more at my backyard zone. So we've got some blogs, blog posts. We'll come back and look at the blog stuff later, but I mean, that's perfectly good stuff. It's stuff about your business. It's showing a bit of authority and a bit increases trust about how people can, you know, knowing that you're a business that can help people with their stuff, favorite pizza ovens. You know, I mean, this is probably don't need all this stuff. Brands featuring authorized dealer for all our brands. That's a good thing. I'd probably even bump that up a bit higher on the page. We've got some reviews. That's fine. And then we've got the footer. The footer is fine. The one thing I would say is I would take away this email capture thing down here that you see in the footer. That's just the generic kind of email sign up with no sort of double check on it. The problem with these is actually you can get a lot of email spam. So I don't know what the point of it is, but it's happened to me on multiple Shopify accounts. And I've seen it happen to our students' accounts is you just get flooded with hijacked email addresses. Like I had one site where we got 60,000 customer records added to our Shopify account through people through these email addresses getting opted in through the just general email capture on the site. And then they all got passed over to our email account, our Klaviyo account, which jacked up the number of contacts, which put us way over our sending limits for our plan there. Couldn't send any emails. So it's a real pain in the butt. And it happens. It doesn't happen to everybody, but these general email, nobody's signing up to this stuff really. So I'd just get rid of it out of the footer. And I'd get rid of them on your contact us page as well, if you have them. All right, moving along, that's the homepage. Let's dive on over to a collection page. So we can see here, Ranit has a collection page. Wood-fired pizza ovens we're on. We've got a bit of content here, which I'll comment on. Ben's going to do as I mentioned earlier in the episode, Ben's going to do an SEO-focused teardown on this website. So collection pages do play a large role in the SEO space, and no doubt Ben will talk about that at some length. So I'm not going to talk about SEO too much here. I'll talk about this content, I think, maybe from a customer perspective. You know, probably, you know, some of this stuff is probably a little bit off the beaten track, and some of it's good. you know, yeah, there's nothing down the bottom. And now, this sort of content here too, like where you present this doesn't matter too much. There is absolutely no problem with it being at the top of the page. But it can, you can, like just a few tweaks to the theme, have it so that it loads at the bottom of the collection, like down here. And sometimes you could do a bit up here and a bit down here. Something that I see people do is have some content up here higher on the page, and then they'll put like an FAQ type section down the bottom with some commonly asked questions about the type of product that's in the collection. It's totally fine to do it. It doesn't really have a massive SEO bearing or a conversion rate bearing. Like, it can just be a good way to split content up sometimes if you want to do that. So once again, when you think about whatever content you're going to put on the collection pages, you need to think about what's going to be the most helpful for the customer. Like, you don't want to go overboard with it. And there's certainly some evidence now that search engines prefer collection pages that don't go overboard on the content on them. Going back a little ways, like a decent amount of content was probably better, but it looks like that's starting to shift a little bit in recent times, and it's probably more a bit shorter form content is becoming a bit more you know, preferred. But definitely from a helping the customer perspective and not the SEO perspective, which I'm going to try and leave up to Ben, is like the main question that somebody's going to have, as I mentioned before, when they come to this collection is, which one is the right one? Which one is the one I need? And yes, some of it's going to be like, oh, I like the way that one looks better than another one. But people aren't buying these things just for looks. A lot of people are buying these things for function as well. And what's going to produce me the result I need? And so your content here really should only largely be about helping people work that out. So an example of what the sort of verbiage that's not necessary here is, wood-fired pizzas have been around since the dawn of civilization and now popular to cook pizzas at home. Yeah, okay, we all know that, right? I mean, like, this doesn't help the customer's journey at all. Like, I'm not buying a wood-fired pizza because I know it's been around since the dawn of civilization, right? I mean, that's irrelevant, right? Who gives a... Nobody cares. And yeah, we know they're a popular way to cook pizzas, otherwise they're pizza ovens. So, like, kind of there's stuff here which you can get rid of. Now, kind of highlighting the what are the main features of a wood-fired pizza oven and what are the benefits of that? Like, and what are the outcomes that people are going to get? And that kind of gets touched on here a little bit. Wood smoke adds a smoky flavor to the pizza that is not found in a pizza cooked in a conventional oven, right? So that's, you know, you could have a bit of information here about why would somebody buy a wood-fired pizza oven, because, you know, what are the main top three hit points about why you want one of these, right? That's useful because somebody could look at this page who's still in the mindset of, do I need a wood one or do I want a gas one, right? I mean, so you want to touch on that a bit for sure, but then it's going to be like providing some recommendations that help people to segment out these products. Like, you know, what's the best budget option here? What's the best premium option here? You know, is what's the best portable option here? What's the best, I don't know, like what are the factors people buy on? Like, I mean, like, is there a particularly large one, you know, that's bigger than the rest that allows people to cook a lot more, you know, large families, that sort of thing? Like, you want to provide those recommendations here. And then also answering some of the common questions that people have around this type of product, if they exist, can also be a good thing to do here. So you could use a tool like answerthepublic.com, for example, put in a root term like wood-fired pizza oven and see like what questions do people ask on search engines. Or you can use the auto-suggest in a Google search window to do the same. And that should be so pretty much what your content is focused around. It's just helping people to navigate all of this stuff, right? So some of this stuff is good. You know, some of this stuff I don't think is so helpful. You know, the image is nice. There's a nice image. You can see it's a wood-fired pizza oven. The titles here, I'd probably change this H2. It's a direct replicant of the H1. I think I'd probably see if there's a variation, like a secondary variation that I could use there instead of that one. You know, I'm sure Ben will comment more on that in the SEO episode. All right, let's dive on a bit further. Let's go and look at a product page. Now, there's not much else to say about collection pages. Let's be honest. Collection pages are pretty straightforward things. Outside of that, everything looks great. Product page time, the all-important product pages. So here we are. We're on a pizza oven, wood-fired pizza oven page, Chicago brick oven, $750. And yeah, look, we can see the product page. Renate's loading in her highlights banner from the homepage that we saw on the homepage. This is just, you know, the Shopify 2.0 designer can allow you to pull in little sections like this. It's not a bad idea. I don't mind that. For a desktop, these banners look not so great on mobile, though, because of how they resize responsively. They turn into a carousel type thing, but it's a carousel that nobody knows is a carousel. So you're only going to see what's at the first two. And so if that's the case, you want to make sure the first two are the first two important things you want people to see. So moving along, what do you say here? I kind of like this area over here. I like the colors that are used. The add to cart is the green, a bright green color. So it's a color, the color doesn't matter. All right, honestly. And this isn't a big deal either. I don't want to harp on this. Like this is what people who don't know much about what they're talking about talk about. But I'm going to talk about it anyway because I can. And it does have some small impact. Anytime you've got a call to action, you want it to be a color that is unique on your site or almost unique on your site. As in, it's not going to be anywhere else and it largely contrasts with other colors in your design around it. So it pops off the page. Now, once again, what color it is doesn't really matter. There's nothing really to say that green versus blue versus pink versus orange is necessarily has that much of an effect. What does have a greater effect is contrast, because it draws people's attention to the action that you want them to take on the page. And so this green works well for that, I think. You know, we've got the standard stuff here. We've got the shop pay thing. And then as we scroll down, I'll talk about the images in a moment. As we scroll down, we've got the USP type stuff. And so I'll talk about that a little bit in a second. We've got the share this thing. I largely get rid of the share this. Maybe this, like, people don't tend to share product pages with these buttons very much. Like, I mean, you've got Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. Now, Pinterest, maybe. I can get that. People do like to wish list things on Pinterest. So Pinterest I can kind of get. The others, I would be almost certain that you get zero clicks on these things. Nobody's sharing the pizza oven to Twitter, right? Or LinkedIn, really. So I get rid of that to save space. Space is at a premium here in this area. It's the part of the page that's going to get the most attention. And so we kind of want to, one, be fairly, like, make it look like a good design, but also, like, get the most important things communicated as soon as possible in this part of the page, and particularly important for mobile, right? Because on a mobile, people don't scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page often, and if you've got important stuff down here, you don't want to leave it down there. So I'd get rid of the share this. I think the benefit of having that there is non-existent. Should be a theme setting to hide that. Other things up here are fine. I would move the USP thing from here, and I would put it in between underneath the shop pay thing and the color. Now, some people would say that's a little bit counterintuitive and you want the add to cart button to be as high as you can. And while I agree with that in a lot of cases, I also don't agree with it so much these days. And the reason for that is that 80% plus of traffic is on mobile. So you would hear in years gone past when I started high ticket dropshipping, and now I get to sound like a really old man because I've been doing it for 10 years, a little bit over 10 years now at this time of year, is that a majority of the traffic was on desktop. right? So the view that we see here on the screen. And so what you were always trying to do was make sure that your action things, like your add to cart button or any page you're on that had buttons or call to actions, was sitting above the fold. The fold being the bottom of the viewable page before people had to scroll down. You're always trying to keep the important stuff above the fold. You'll hear people say, above the fold, above the fold. Well, guess what? On a mobile, the product image is going to be the only thing that's above the fold. The add to cart is never going to be above the fold on a mobile, on a Shopify site, pretty much, right? And particularly on a high ticket dropshipping site. It's going to be the product image, then the title, then the price, then the variant selector, which has to be above the add to cart, right? And the add to cart's going to be below the fold. You're not going to see it, right? Really, generally. And so I don't really worry about that because people are going to be scrolling anyway. And so getting obsessive about that is not necessary, you know? And so the other part of it is that when you're a high ticket dropshipper, and once again, this is different to other types of e-commerce businesses. So this might be different to the approach you would take if you were running a D2C e-commerce business or which means direct to customer or, some other type of e-commerce business where you kind of sell your own brand and your product is your main USP type thing. When you're a high ticket dropshipper, you're a reseller, which means you're selling it usually, at least in the beginning, you're selling other people's products, other brands' products, right? Which is great. That's a good thing. The downside of that, if there is a downside, is that other people are also selling them. And your customer knows this in most cases. And there's a high chance that they're going to be comparison shopping you along with other people who sell the same product, right? When they get to the point in their customer journey that they know what product they want to buy. And so your task then, a large part of your task is not just to persuade your customers that your product is the right product for them, and you absolutely, your website should do that, make the marketing argument for why they should buy that product in, you know, like you might do that on your collection pages, you might do that in your quiz, you might do that in your product descriptions, right? You got to do all that, no doubt. Your images, your videos are going to do that. But it's not just that. You also have to persuade people that they should buy the product from you and not someone else, right? And so the product isn't doing that for you. It's not enough just to sell the product. You have to sell the product in a way that's better than other people who sell the product. And you want to offer them more in the entirety of what they're considering when they think about buying the product than other people in your market or in your niche, whatever you want to call it. And so this is where the concept of the offer comes in. The offer is everything that the customer thinks about when they're thinking of buying a product from you. So it's the product, it's the price, it's, your shipping arrangements, it's are you charging taxes, it's like how good your customer service, how responsive is your customer service, it's what's your returns policy, what's the risk reversal, do you have discounts, do you have a free gift, do you add other value? This is all part of what is in marketing speak, which you need to become an expert in, is like the offer. That's what people would say when they talk about your offer. It's not like you've got a special offer like a discount. It's like, what are you offering your customer in terms of the complete package of what they experience when they purchase from you? And so the better you can do in that space, this is a conversion rate optimization thing, the more likely it is that you're going to persuade customers that they should buy from you and not your competitors. Now, if they call you on the phone, it's really easy to do that, right? Because they can experience dealing with you and you can really demonstrate these things. But you need to do it on your website as well, because once again, not everybody's going to call you. Some people are just going to want to buy through the website without having any touch points with you in that sense. So this is why I say to put it before the add to cart, because like if people aren't persuaded about that stuff before they see the add to cart, they're not going to click the add to cart button if they're not persuaded that they should buy from you. So what's the point in showing them the add to cart button before you've persuaded them that they should buy from you, right? So that's why I say, put your offer stuff however you present it, and there are different ways you can present it. Ronit has the little green icons with the text that explains what's cool. Great. I don't really have any problem with this. Once again, a little stack display like this is okay because it's going to mostly be seen on a mobile, and that's an easy way to format on a mobile. So I'd whack that up, put it in here. In terms of changing it, look, I don't know that this is the offer or that this is the offer it needs to be. Authorized dealer, I would only include if people ask whether you're an authorized dealer. Some niches people don't care. Some niches people do care. I'm certainly, we're in, you know, niches now where people do actually ask that question. Like, oh, they check, are you an authorized dealer of this product? And so if you know that people ask that, then I would include it. If you don't know that people care about that, because in a lot of cases they don't care about that, then I wouldn't include it because it's not really a strong thing. Like, if people aren't concerned about that, then so what? Don't talk about it, right? Because if people aren't thinking about it and you put it in front of them, they're thinking about, oh, now I'm questioning, what does that mean? Do I need to think about that? Do I not need to think about that? So I would only include it if you need to. Paying interest free installments, I don't think at this point in time that's really a USP thing. One, because, and once again, I don't know the pizza market inside out, but I'm talking in general terms here. So Ronit, you can ignore me completely if you think otherwise, but like, this would only be a thing, a useful element, if none of your competitors have like a ShopPay or a Klarna or a Affirm or any of those sort of pay in installments. Otherwise, this is just the same as everybody else, right? So it doesn't really confer a benefit. Like, it's not making the product cheaper to pay in installments. They're still paying the same price. So to me, it's not really a huge selling point in most niches. Like I said, there might be some outliers there where you have competitors who don't offer it, in which case I would definitely say that's a good thing to offer. But also, in a lot of niches, you'll find that people just don't use it anyway, even when it's there. I've certainly got sites where you might get like 1 in 200 people, customers, use a pay-in installments where it's offered. And it's kind of like, well, at that point, there's kind of no point offering it. Like, it just takes up space on your page. You could get rid of that and use that space for some other things. Once again, secure checkout, 2024. I don't think that's a selling point anymore. Like, what site does, like, you always have to think about what's the flip side of that. What site doesn't have a secure checkout today? In the, like, once again, if we go back in time, this was a thing, right? This was a thing at one point. There was variations in, much greater variations in, internet security, and it was a lot looser 15 years ago, you know, before platforms like Shopify existed, and people were largely running their own websites, and there were lots of custom builds, and there were lots of different things going on. Like, yeah, Shopify's checkout, you're going to have competitors that are using Shopify, so they've got the same level of security as you. If they're using any of the other hosted platforms, like, you know, BigCommerce or anything else, or WooCommerce, they've got the same level of security as you. They've got secure checkout. So, like, I don't know in today's day and age, maybe in some niches where you have an older demographic, you might get that question come up a bit more because there still might be some lingering trust issues around buying online. But, like, I can't think of the last time I went on an e-commerce website and thought, oh, I'm not sure if this page is secure or not. Like, your browsers will generally warn you if it's not. So I don't necessarily think that's that strong either. Give us a call. Once again, I like having the phone number here. I like repeating your phone number lots, because you do want people to call if it would be helpful for them, because you're just going to get a much higher conversion rate on the phone over people who are on your website. So I like this. I'd probably, you know, if you're trying to get more people on the phone, I would tie this to a benefit. Like, get the best price, get the lowest price on this product, give us a call, for example. Tie the call to them getting a benefit. Often, like, kind of like what's up here a little bit, that'll usually get you more calls. Made in the USA, once again, I mean, that can be a thing that you would highlight on products that are made in the USA, for sure, if you're in the USA, which this business is. Certainly there are many customers there that care about that, and that will be a selling point for people on the product. It's not a selling point necessarily for your business, but it's definitely a selling point for the product. So if this brand is obviously made in the USA, That's cool, I would say. And then we've got the last one, free gift with purchase. So this is like an additional value thing that Ronit's adding in. What I would say there, and that's good to do if you can do it, like if your products carry the margin where you can chuck something into the deal that is something that's related to the product that the customer would actually use, then you want to do that. Now, it says here, free accessory bundle on this image, which is good. Like, I would provide a little bit more detail about this, like free gift with purchase. My first question is, okay, so what is that? Like people don't get turned on by just a free gift. They get more turned on by the free gift when they know it's actually something they want. If it's something they don't want, if you're like, oh, I'm going to give you a free gift of a fidget spinner, like, I'd be like, well, I don't care. What's that got to do with a pizza oven? Now, obviously, if we look over here on the product images, we can see that Ronit's got a picture here, which says free accessory bundle. And so we've got what looks like a heat gun for checking the temperature in your pizza oven, what I would assume is a cleaning brush of some description, and this pizza. Maybe this is a flipper or a pizza, whatever you call it. I don't know. I should even know. I sell these things on a website. And so we've got these, and that's cool, right? This is a good free gift bundle to give because it's related to the product, and the customer who wants to buy a pizza oven is probably going to use all three of these things at some point. And so this is a good one. And I know it says free accessory bundle here, but once again, that just answers the question of what is it? So if you can communicate that a little bit in here, free gift with purchase or free bundle with purchase, including heat gun, you know, whatever the other two things are, you know, that sounds kind of cool. Or if there's a value to that free gift or that those free gifts, like if the value is like $100, you can say, you know, like bonus free $100 accessory bundle or something like that. Like put the value on it, you know, because people will like that better. Another little tip where we're using this, I mean, this is just going to be the MAP price and the MSRP price rather than a genuine sale price. But whenever you've got like a sale sticker up here, and I think you can do it in this theme. If not, you can certainly get it coded into the theme. But like tell people how much they're saving. So like sale, you know, you save, how much is this? This is like $1,000, just over $1,000. You save $1,000, right? Anytime you talk about a discount, never talk, I mean, this doesn't talk about percentages or anything. It does have the thing, but I still have to think about the maths here to come up with how much I'm saving. Right? So always be explicit with people. If you want them to know how much they're saving, tell them how much they're saving. Never use discounts because people, like if this product's $4,699 and you said, get 25% off. What's 25% of $4,699? I don't know. I'm shit at maths. I hate maths, right? I have to get my phone out. I have to get on my calculator to work that out, right? Like, so never say that. Always say what they're saving. So save $1,025 because once again, there's a little psychology here. If I know I'm saving $1,000, what do I think of? Something I'm going to think of is like, I know what $1,000 is worth to me, right? Oh, I'm saving $1,000. That means I could spend $1,000 on something else that I want that I wasn't expecting to be able to save, right? So that's way more powerful than saying save 25%. You can't put 25% in the bank. Right? It doesn't mean anything. So a little tip there on discounting and presenting discounts to people. Image-wise, this image is too big. It's granular. It's probably not the best image to load when somebody lands on the site. Once again, I would probably load this image, for example. I mean, I know we want to have the free accessory bundle text there, which is fine. You could do that. You could put it on this, but like the actual image of the product, people being able to see the product in situ allows them once again to do the thing we talked about earlier. If I can see this product on an outdoor kitchen, and let's say I've got an outdoor kitchen, right? It might not be this exact outdoor kitchen, but now I can start to get an idea of how big is this product? Right? Now, I know there's measurements, and I'm going to go and measure it, but I don't want to do that yet, right? I just want to get a quick idea on whether this product is right. So we can see there's a grill here. There's some very standard things here that people are likely to have in an outdoor kitchen, a cupboard set. So I can sort of see, all right, yeah, that's about how big that is compared to a grill. And now I can start to place that pizza oven on my outdoor kitchen or in my outdoor space, because I'm starting to get a sense of how big it is, right? And so this is like the same concept as putting people using the product in as an image, is that when they can see the product in its natural habitat and being used, it makes it's much more powerful than just showing the image on the white background or this image, which is just like some, it's kind of too blown up, kind of grainy type image where I can't even see the whole product. So I don't want this image. You've got to have these images, right? I mean, you've got to have these white background images, primarily if you're running Google Shopping Ads. Google, in their policies, even though they don't really pull you up on it often, they do say that all of your images that you submit in your feed should be on a white background, square on a white background. But for the customer perspective, this is the best image here, easily. Because it lets me see the product in the sort of scenario that it's going to be used in, and I can then start in my mind, it's easier to kind of transpose this now into whatever location I want to use it in, even if it's not exactly the same setup, right? So I'd probably lead with that image rather than the other one. If you want to put the free accessory bundle text over it, once again, that's cool. But if you can be more specific about what the actual free thing is, always be specific about the free thing. It has no value unless you tell people what its value is or what it is, so they can determine if it's something that even works for them. Because if they can't determine that, then it just, the default is it doesn't have any effect. It's not that it has some effect, it's that it doesn't. And once again, I think I saw one product page on here where it was further down the bottom of the product page. You wouldn't put it further down the bottom of the product page either. So then we've also got this here. Sorry, I've just found it. It's in the middle of the product page. You know, we've got this thing about, don't forget when you purchase a Chicago Brick, I'm going to send you a free gift, the Pizza Bible, the must have for any pizza enthusiast. And then we've got it again. So there's repetition here. So one or the other, you don't need that. And then this, it's a distraction, right? Not to say that this is bad, but once again, it's all the way down here. So once again, if I'm just making the decision about whether I want to go further up here, I'd be talking about it here. You could also have it further down the page where you can give a bit more of a description about it. Like, And this isn't bad. You know, it's by the 12-time world pizza champion, Tony. I'm not even going to pronounce it because I'll butcher it and sound like an idiot. No offense, Tony. Clearly Tony's of Italian heritage, which is fantastic if you're into, you know, making Italian pizza. What's the benefit of this? Like, what's this book going to tell them, right? Like, what are they going to learn from it? I would include that sort of detail in here as well. You know, like, what's the main benefit? Learn how to make the same pizza that the 12-time world pizza champion Tony makes, that he won pizza competitions with, or whatever it is. Like, whenever you're talking, like, always talk to people about what they're going to get. Don't just tell people what it is. You tell people what it is, but then you got to tell people, why is it the greatest fucking thing ever? Like, what is so fantastic about this? Is this the best pizza book? The best pizza recipe book? Like, say it is if it is. Maybe it is. Tony certainly sounds like he's got the background to make the world's best pizza book. I have no idea who he is. But anyway, that's fantastic, you know. And largely, you know, like, I like this. 12-time world pizza champion. That's a pretty cool claim to fame. 12 times is a lot. So detail that up a bit more. Replicated here, because you've now on this page you're saying you got two different free gifts, and so do you get both of them? Do you get one? Like, you know, what, which one is the free gift you're talking about here? Does this pizza oven just come with the accessory bundle, or is it the book? Like, it's just a little bit all over the shop there with that. But I mean, I like that it's been done though. Don't get me wrong, that's cool. I'd clean it up though. Payment icons, unnecessary. There is no e-commerce website in the world today that you cannot pay with Visa or MasterCard in terms of one that lets you check out. Or maybe sometimes people don't have PayPal. Stripe, yeah, you're going to have Stripe or PayPal almost 99.9% of the time. Like, this isn't a big question for people at this point in time, I don't think. I don't even know who uses Diners Club or Discover. I'm sure you're out there. I'm sure you're listening, but like, that's very rare. Apple Pay, yeah, cool, whatever. That'll show up in for most people in this payment options thing, that the dynamic checkout button. So I, once again, in the aim of decluttering and keeping the focus on the things that are going to have the biggest impact, I would just get rid of that. Like, once again, 10 years ago, absolutely, we used to have that because it was a thing, but it's not anymore. So I think this offer needs rejigging. I don't think it's strong enough. There's a couple of good things here that should stay, and maybe there's a couple of things that need to be here based on the niche and the customer, and if they need to, they need to, but there's also some things here that don't need to be here, I think. So finding a way to tighten that up would be better. There is no mention of risk reversal at all in this offer. And then once again, there might be reasons for that, but generally speaking, you want to have something there. I haven't seen anything here about shipping yet on the page, which is going to be another for products of this size. Oops, sorry, should stop hovering over that. For products of this size, what's the shipping is going to be an important question for customers. Like, does it have free shipping? Is the shipping paid? How much is the shipping if it's paid? Big question here. It's not mentioned. Now, I'm not saying like free shipping has to be part of your offer. I'm not saying you even have to offer free shipping. I mean, I have a site where I almost don't offer any free shipping. And that's fine, because the nature of the products mean that that's the case, right? So that's not the point. The point is, it's a question the most customers are going to have. How does it ship? How long does the shipping take? Am I going to pay for the shipping? Am I going to get charged for the shipping? And you need to communicate at least the dot points of that, like the main points of that here, like early. Right, really early on the page. You don't have to give them the full shipping policy. You don't have to link them to the full shipping policy, because most people don't want to read the full shipping policy. They just want to know, what's the deal? Is it going to ship in a week? Is it going to ship tomorrow? Is it going to ship in 3 weeks? Is it, what's the story there? And so once again, in this kind of what we call the product form area, you want to communicate that as well. And that might be done in this offer area, or you might do it just below the add to cart button often as well. Now, obviously, there's a shipping and returns tab down here. When you shop at My Backyard Zone, we get the ball rolling right away, so that the shipping will be done in the shortest amount of time. Great. But what does that mean? And then I've got to click here to read our full shipping, returns, and refunds policy. So that's another click. We're going to go to another page, which opened in a new tab. Now I've got to read this. At the moment, we're offering free shipping on most products. All right. Which products? To the lower 48 states, that's fine. In the US, no minimum order required. Like, okay, so this automatically raises my question. Is the product I'm looking at most products, or is it the some products that don't have free shipping? And then we've got a bit of time down here. If you're not, we'll email you tracking information within 24 hours of your order leaving the warehouse. So there's not really any time. Time frames here that I can find. So you see, I'm scrolling around. I've already got bored and I'm leaving the website. You will find that if you can communicate more about your shipping, and once again, it doesn't matter if it's free or paid, just tell people, what's the deal? Like, what's the deal? That's what people want to know when it comes to shipping. Relying on them going to a shipping, returns, and refunds policy to find that out for themselves and leaving the product page, you don't want to do that, because you're taking them further away from the point of purchase to find that information out. If you're in a niche where you have to do super custom shipping because your products are really big or really heavy, which, you know, can be the case for high ticket drop shipping, like, at least tie it to the give us a call. Like, let's talk about shipping options. Give us a call on blah, 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 blah. You know, or something like that. The people who really want to buy it will at least know they call you and they're going to get that information. You can work through it with them. But in most cases, you're going to be able to tell them something here, and you want to be able to tell people the main points about the shipping. And if the answer to that is, well, I don't know, well, work it out, make a call, and tell them something that's going to be right the vast majority of the time, and maybe occasionally it won't be quite correct. You'll deal with that as it goes. So that's what we want to do there. All right, moving further down the product page's description. Look, once again, I'm not going to touch on the SEO element of the descriptions. You know, highlighting it's made in the USA is cool. And then we've got these kind of sections with the image section, content. Some of it is repetitive and some of it is unnecessary. What I would do is I would synthesize this stuff into, so like the signature flame roll, technology generates high even temperatures, so your food will always cook evenly and perfectly. Now that's cool, right? I mean, you tie that into what's the temperature and all of that sort of stuff. Like this is a feature benefit statement. Yeah, so your food will always cook evenly and perfectly. This is something that people might be concerned about. Like pizza oven, is all the heat going to be evenly distributed around the pizza oven? I mean, is it going to be burnt on one side and not cooked on the other? Is it going to be burnt on top and not cooked on the bottom? You know, these are something that questions that people I would imagine are likely to have. But this is a long way down the page to get that information. Right, a lot of people just don't scroll down that way. So what I would suggest you start off with in the beginning, or even some people will pull it, you can use the split description functionality, or the more, I can't remember if it's split or more in Superstore, to put the main dot points here of the product. So you can actually do this. You can do this like just with a little bit of you can do it with meta fields actually now in Shopify. They'll split their descriptions, so the main features are here. Like, because once again, what's the question people are thinking? Like, is this the right product for me? Is it like what's the reasons that I will buy this product? So, this blurb here, like this could be about any pizza oven. Like this is just about wood-fired pizza ovens. Nothing to do with this particular product. So once again, on this product page, you're selling just this product. So sell just this product. Like why should somebody buy the Chicago Brick Oven 750 countertop wood-fired pizza oven? And who should buy it? Right? That's the answer. So the why should people buy it? Is going to be, what are the top five features, benefits, and outcomes that this product provides? That's it. The first bit of your product description should hit on the who. Who is this for? What is the big outcome that it provides, right? In a way that's expressed as relevant to just this product. Like this statement here could be on any of your wood-fired pizza product pages, and maybe it is in some way. But you don't want that. Like this is all a product type. People aren't landing, shouldn't really be coming to this product page off product category keywords. They should be going to your collection page with those keywords, which maybe can tell them more about why wood fire pizzas in general. This page you want to is all about. So you want a wood fired pizza. This is the one you need if you're blah blah blah, because it's going to do this for you, and this is how it's going to do it. Top five benefits. Bang 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 bang. Right, so the next section is here. One of those is made in the USA. It doesn't need its own section. It's a dot point. This product is made in the USA. You know it's going to be high quality, and it's something you can trust. Right, support local business. Bang, one dot point. Next dot point. They're going to be pulled out from down here. So this oven is certified for UL and NSF4 standards for safe indoor and outdoor use. Plus it's time tested by thousands of Chicago. Blah, blah, blah. There's something here about temperatures. Yep, that's good. That's probably part of it. The cooking, cooking surface, the size of the cooking surface, like it's this big. What does that allow you to do? Like, why is that a good thing, right? So each of these probably has like one line. And then you probably mentioned the signature flame roll technology. You need to explain that a bit more. What is that, right? There was also a dot point here somewhere that it was the refractory thing. It was made refractory cement, which I said I had no idea what that is. So refractory cement, that's what you should say in the quiz. So that can withstand temperatures higher than the melting point of steel. So once again, commercial grade. This is a selling point for this product. So like there's nothing to say there's anything wrong with with these sections. You would leave these as they are. There's nothing wrong with that. The images are cool. I love the images. I would probably even have some more of these images up here with the main product images, to be honest, as well, because they're really good. Like, once again, this is InSight. This is a good one. This one down here, it's InSight. People can imagine what it looks like. This one's got a dude doing the thing. That's cool. So I'd keep those, but I would open up after a little introductory paragraph with just the five dot points, big and bold. These are the things, right? That's what's going to sell the product for you. And then continue on with this stuff, which is, you know, probably largely fine. But you really got to sell the product. The reviews here, I'd probably say I don't think the these H2 headings are right from an SEO perspective either. Once again, Ben will probably comment on that when he does his SEO teardown on this website. But I don't think you've probably got that one right. This is not right. This is not a keyword directed H2 at all. Those probably need to be changed, I would assume. I'm sure, like I say, I'll leave it to Ben to kind of maybe comment more on what that should be. The review widget should be hidden where there are no reviews. So reviews are fantastic, but oftentimes you're going to have products that you haven't actually sold, or you've sold but you haven't got a review for yet. So most review tools, and I don't know which one this one is, I'm not going to work it out right now, will allow you to hide the review widget where there are no reviews on a product. And you should do that. Like, this is actually negative social proof. Like, not having any reviews visible, I mean, that's not as good as having reviews visible, but having something on your site that actively says this product has no reviews is worse than not having anything. So if the review tool will allow it, select that option to hide it where there's no review. If you can't find that option, I would reach out to the app developers and say, is there a way that we can hide it where there's no review? If you can get reviews for it, though, absolutely get some reviews for it. Like, if you've sold any of them, please reach out to those customers and get reviews. Get product image reviews as well, like images. So images from your customers like these, that'll be a really good thing to do. And this little bar down here, moving down, we've got the related products, which is fine. That's all good. And the footer. So that's the product pages. There's a bit of work to do there. I mean, overall, though, the layout's good. You just need to tweak up, you know. Oh, here we go. Here's the key features. Don't put it in a tab, right? Because when somebody gets onto mobile, this key features thing is not what they're seeing. And you've got some good H2s, some better H2s here. So I would just get rid of the key features tab. In fact, I'm stopping using tabs altogether at the moment. And I'm going to pass that on in our course shortly. But so here's your points, right? These are great. And where's my phone? I want to see what this looks like on mobile. These are good, but they're in a tab that isn't the default tab. And it's also not the default tab when I open it on a mobile device, right? So I have to click to find this stuff. So this section here, these points, once again, I won't say they look pretty cool. Like, you know, arrives fully assembled for quick setup and use. Like, this section here should just be cut and put right under your opening paragraph, and possibly even summarized if you use the split functionality, a couple of dot points that appear even higher on the page about why the product's great. That would be a big thing I would do. You know, the specifications, the manuals, I mean, these are all good. You've got this little video here. I'm going to play this.
One of the account managers with Chicago Brick Oven.
I'm Bob Harley, one of the account managers also.
I've got the sound down.
Right
down
now,
so
we're
going to
finish off
it.
This pizza right here.
Also.
Yeah. I don't know that I would feature that video that highly. That's just a generic video. I don't really like that one. If you've got a great video that shows somebody more actively using your product, you should always feature that like ahead of these sort of images, because once again, people being able to see a product being used, and a video is even better than an image. I wouldn't put it up here, right? We don't want page load issues up here. In the description area, I would still have it close to the top of the description. Always. Not often I see people putting the product videos right down the bottom of the product page for some reason. It's like, why are you putting it, the thing that demonstrates the product being used, that allows people to transpose themselves into that, down the bottom of the page where 50% of people often never even look? It doesn't make any sense. So get it up the top. Make sure it's lazy loading so you're not affecting your page load time. But yeah, definitely, like this actually doesn't look too bad. Like this is the wrong heading for this. These are not technical details. These are the reasons why people, this is the logic. Remember earlier I said people experience an emotion about a product and then they justify the emotion with logic. This is the logic about why I buy this product. People need to see this to, complete the purchase, but not just the features, the why, what does the feature mean, and what is the outcome that it provides, right? That statement. So this is good, but it's not technical details. Technical details is kind of maybe some of this stuff here, sure. And you don't need any of this other stuff at the top. I mean, once again, we've got another bonus accessories bundle. I mean, once again, this is a bit hidden down here as well. How many you can fit, important information, really important information. If I'm buying a pizza oven, it's going to be one of my main questions. Like, okay, great. It's like 38 inch by 28 inch cooking surface. All right. So I can kind of maybe guess a little bit and say, oh yeah, it's about that big. But like the question people are really asking when they're asking what's the cooking area surface is how much can I cook in it at one time? So now you're telling me, all right, you almost don't need to say what is the measurement of the inside if you just tell people what they can cook. Like, it's really hard for me to visualize like 32 inches by whatever it was, 28 inches. Like, I can't really see that in my head, but I can see two 16-inch round pizzas. If these are standard-sized pizzas, like a 12-inch pizza, I know what three of those look like, right? I probably ate them recently, you know, if I'm into pizza. And so I immediately know how big this is. And I immediately also know how much I generally want to cook at one time. And so I can easily just go, yes, this is the right product for me, or no, it's not. And you want people, like, it doesn't matter if it's not the right product for the person who sees it. That's fine. You know, you want them to confidently make that decision, because the amount of people who confidently make the no decision will be offset for you by the amount of people who confidently make the yes decision and go on and buy the product. Right. You can have, you know, having 300 no's is fine if you get 5 yeses. Right. So that needs to go early on in the description as well. This bit here, what it can typically fit. You know, these other what it's available in, hood color, pre-assembled, blah, blah, blah. That's already been mentioned. So, yeah, little rejig there. The other thing I would say, which I forgot to say earlier, is on the collection pages. So just go back to this collection page, wood-fired pizza oven. This, I would put your quiz on here as well, your product selector quiz. I would definitely have that inserted into your collection page. You might need to do it slightly different to how you've done it on the homepage, so it's a bit smaller. But absolutely want to do it here. This is where people are going to have questions about the product that they need to get. Okay, so I'd put that in as well. Righto. You know, we've done most of the site. I'm just going to go and have a whack over at some at a blog post here and just have a look. So this blog post is Best Wood Fired Pizza Ovens 2024. Probably an SEO keyword there, no doubt. First thing that pops off is you've got a double heading here. I would assume this is a H1. So, yeah, that's a H1, and I would assume this is a H2. Yep. So, you want some text in between those two, and they say the same thing. So, once again, and I am straying a little bit into Ben's SEO territory here. Ooh. They're identical, so they're duplication. So that, you know, the H2 should be different to the H1, but there should be some text. Like, so I would put, you know, you just don't need that H2 there. This should be a H2 here. This text should appear after, should be the next piece of text after the H1, like the little introduction blurb, and then go H2 text. These, you know, could be H3s. What are they? They're H4s. So you've gone H2. No, this is a H3 currently. So you would change these to H3s. You know, and so the layout on the blog post is fine. Whether it's the right content or not, I will leave to Ben's SEO teardown. I don't know if it is. You know, it looks okay. Once again, here I would put anytime you've got content, try and put an email opt-in of some sort into it. Once again, your quiz is going to be the biggest no-brainer one to, once again, insert somewhere in the middle of this post so that when you're getting organic traffic to this page, you're also doing something to capture email addresses and turn more of that into your own traffic that you own and have a bit more control over the communication with. So that's the only thing I'd really change here. But the headings need to change for sure. Yeah. Not only is it not good for SEO, it just doesn't look good either. To have a duplicated heading like that. I don't know if that was across all of them. No. So you don't have it on all of them. Okay, well, that's fine. Just maybe fix up the ones where that is the case. Yeah, cool. All right, well, I'm going to wrap it up there on this website teardown of my backyard zone. There was a lot of stuff to talk through there. Once again, thank you very much, Ronit, for sharing your site with us, with our audience here at the Dropship Podcast. I hope this was helpful for people. I mean, I know it was helpful for some people. Hopefully, it was also helpful for Ronit. And just a reminder, we're going to be back in a couple of upcoming episodes with a Google Ads, so pay-per-click ads that are running to this site. I'm going to dive into the account. I'm going to look through the account. We're going to learn some stuff there. And Ben is also going to revisit this same site in 3 or 4 episodes' time, I believe, to do an SEO teardown. And as always, if you'd love to learn how to build, launch, and grow one of these high-ticket dropshipping businesses in the way that Ben and I do, and take advantage of, you know, the sort of feedback and advice that you've heard on this podcast episode, but in even more detail and in an ongoing sense, then you should join Dropship Breakthrough, our high-ticket dropshipping community and program. Just go to dropshipbreakthrough.com/join. See you all soon.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image, and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.